I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a
soldier. No, they'll never take us under, because we're bringing truth like thunder. Raining on your speakers like a ton of bricks. Hold the cross high, cause we're Catholics. Fight the good fight with the truth. Stand tall with the truth. I'm a warrior for Christ. I'm in love with the truth. Love God, save souls, slay error.
Go stronger.
Holy Hour of Power, the Lord's Gym. My name is Jesse Romero. I'm the Latin lover of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I'm on duty. I'm waiting for my partner, Terry. We've got a good show. We're going to be talking about religious persecution. We seem to forget that there's people outside of the United States that are being persecuted for being followers of Christ. We're also going to talk about Pope Benedict XVI. He told Peter Sewald that we have to worry for a new totalitarianism. And so I think he's been talking about, I think that's kind of a dog whistle that we're entering into this new totalitarianism, especially if Joe Biden steals the election. Just wondering if Terry's on.
Yeah, Jesse, I'm in the other studio. I guess there were some technical difficulties. One more point, Jesse, that we're going to be covering. I'm so excited. When I see a bishop stand up and call people to repent, it's refreshing. And there's a bishop who we all know, and I will talk about it later in the show, but he's out on Twitter calling Mr. Biden to repent of his dissent on abortion and marriage and, you know, same-sex marriage and for his own salvation. This is refreshing because we've had other bishops congratulating Mr. Biden for winning the election as being the second Catholic as a president of the United States, which was totally inappropriate. And now we've got someone that you're going to find out when you find out who it is later in the show, you're going to say, well, I can believe that. But you know what, Jess? We need every bishop to do that. And as a matter of fact, you know what I'm going to say, Jess? I think bishops need to tell these politicians that they'll be excommunicated publicly if they do things like promote abortion, because that's the medicine that's going to stop the politicians from giving a false illusion that they are a Catholic, but only in name.
And I agree. I agree that bishops should be doing that, but unfortunately, many of them are modernist, and they bite into the modernist heresy.
And the Kool-Aid.
And so they don't even realize that they're modernist. They don't realize that they've basically descended from 2,000 years of the perennial teachings of the church. That's sad. Terry, I'm going to just go into some quick soul food right now.
Yeah, let's get to it.
And talk about today's gospel.
Amen, brother.
Today, at Holy Mass, is the gospel today was Luke chapter 19, verses 41 to 44.
Right.
And it's a very short gospel, but it says a whole lot about the end times and eschatology, and also about the punishment that was brought to the unbelieving Jews at the time of Christ. It reads like this. As Jesus drew near Jerusalem, he saw the city and wept over it, saying, if this day you only knew what marks for peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. For the days are coming upon you when your enemies will raise a palisade against you. They will encircle you and hem you in on all sides. They will smash you to the ground and your children within you. And they will not leave one stone upon another within you, because you did not recognize the time of your visitation, the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
This section, it's right before the Passion Week. And our Lord is weeping over Jerusalem. And I think he looks at the United States. I'm not kidding you, Terry. Most of the world, and he's weeping over most of the world.
Big time.
Especially the United States right now. If Biden takes over and the socialists take over, our Lord will be weeping upon America. And hopefully that doesn't happen. Hopefully we can hold back the tears of our Lord. But what is our Lord seeing here? Remember, Jesus Christ is God, so he knows everything. He's divine.
Right.
And in his divine nature, Jesus Christ is and Luke writes about it, he's foreseeing what eventually is going to happen to the unbelieving Jewish people of his day in AD 70. And that's when the Roman army, thousands and thousands of Roman legionaries, they basically marched into Jerusalem and they destroyed the city, known as the City of David. They basically laid siege to the city, and that conquest was final. the Jewish city was destroyed as we know it, Jerusalem. And as Dr. Scott Hahn and others, they tell us that what happened there is the microcosm of Judgment Day upon planet Earth, that Jerusalem is a microcosm of the world. And so this judgment that God visited upon the unbelieving Jews in 70 AD for being a wayward city, this judgment is going to fall upon the earth also at the end of time, just like this, because most of the world has become unbelieving. And this happened to the Jews once before. I mean, they were devastated just like this, horribly, by the Babylonians in 586 BC. So this was the second devastation they had suffered. And St. Gregory the Great, he looks at this passage today, and he gives kind of a spiritual exegesis. St. Gregory says that Jesus Christ continues to weep for sinners who, like Jerusalem, they run after evil and they refuse to make peace with God. Their sins hide from their eyes the judgment that is coming. Otherwise, they would weep for themselves. And when it arrives, demons will besiege the soul and the Lord will visit them with this dreadful punishment. And so there's a lot of wicked Catholics, Terry, right now that are just basically giving God the middle finger, and they refuse to repent and they refuse to basically come back and conform their life to the teachings of the Catholic Church. And these people here will see this judgment, if not on a macro level, on a personal level at their particular judgment if they don't repent.
Well said, Jesse, because nobody gets out alive last time I looked. And the church's liturgical year is coming to an end on Sunday. I want to encourage everyone to read the 1925 document on Christ the King. That document talks about God's rights. You know, here in our world, Jesse, we talk about your rights, other people's rights, but we forgot somebody, Jesus Christ, the God-man. And so that document on Christ the King, if we could bring that back to our culture, that would solve all these problems, in my humble opinion. All right, Jess, go ahead. Your thoughts, because Jess, you did a whole thing on Christ the King.
Yeah, Terry, people seem to forget that when we're talking about my rights, that's known as the virtue of justice in Catholicism. The virtue of justice essentially means that everybody deserves what they, you know, everybody should get what they deserve. Yeah. That's the Catholic, you know, basically definition of justice. But what does God deserve? Well, the Catechism tells us that in strict justice, what God deserves is worship,
amen,
and adoration and obedience. And I'll be honest with you, that's not happening with very many people in the Catholic Church. Right? We're the one true church. We're the church started by Christ. We are the new Israel of God. And even within the Catholic Church right now, Terry, I dare say that only a minority of Catholics give God their rights. Here's the basic right that the Catechism says that God in strict justice deserves, is worship at Sunday, Sunday Mass. Well, guess what, Terry? It's been deemed by many people in the Catholic Church, many people in high places, it's been deemed as something non-essential.
Right.
And so these successors of the apostles will answer to God for stating that the Mass is non-essential, which I'll argue with any of them. I don't care if they're the successors of the apostles. They're wrong. They're just wrong.
That's right, Jeff.
Okay? And I have the right to say this. Paragraph 907 of the Catechism. I don't care what bishop it is or cardinal says, oh, the Mass is non-essential. I would disagree with him.
Amen.
Entirely. And I would say, you want to debate this issue and let people decide? I'll show you from Scripture and the Catechism that you're wrong. The Mass is the most essential thing that happens on planet Earth, Terry.
Well, Jesse, what Bishop Strickland said when I was talking to him about this, he said we've lost the supernatural aspect of life. When we can go get our drinks at the liquor store or go get our pot or marijuana, but we can't
go get a tattoo,
but we can't go to church, we are so mixed up. And he said until we come back to a supernatural outlook, then we're lost, because the Mass is Calvary. It is 2,000 years ago. We're present at that one eternal sacrifice. Jesse, if I asked Catholics, and I've been doing that for 40 years, so many people have no idea what the Mass is. So when they tell us, hey, you don't need to go to Mass, yeah, that's cool. Or I'm going to watch it on video. Get out of here. I'm on Zoom. No, we have a right to worship God because an unjust law is no law at all. So I'm going to say that. And, you know, you can record that and say, you know, Terry Barber said that an unjust law of saying we can't go to Mass. Oh, yeah, that's right. And I'll say it right again because, you know what, it's true. Jesse, we're going to bring Fulton Sheen in a minute here. Full Sheen ahead. Here's a quickie for Bishop Sheen. He says that most people justify the way they live. That is to say, instead of fitting to their lives to a philosophy, they invent a philosophy to fit their lives. Like, I'm 6'5" because I want to invent that. Yes, reality check. I'm 5'5", okay? But the world is saying, I want to be able to do X or X, Y, or Z because I want to do it. It has nothing to do with truth. And that's the problem in our culture. We've lost the value of God in our lives. And when we don't have God in our lives, we're going to fall to Satan. Because you know what? That opens us up. When we're not living a sacramental life, oh man, the devil says, hey, you're mine. And Christ is saying, no, you're mine. But he gives you free will to say yes to God, because the only value in saying yes to Jesus Christ is you have the freedom to say no. And right now, too many people in our culture are saying no. And the consequences, I'll tell you what, they're quite. God doesn't send a person to hell. They send themselves to hell by rejecting the truth, by not accepting Christ's teachings and saying, I got a better idea. Jess, when we come back, we're going to cover Father Ripperger.
We're going to put, exactly.
Father Ripperger's video on regarding spiritual warfare and communism. This is our second one. We're going to continue to do this because that man inspires me to fall deeper in love with Jesus Christ and his bride, the church. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show. Yeah, we're too blessed to be stressed. We're too anointed to be disappointed. And if hope was money, both of us, we'd be billionaires. We'll come right back to inspire you to fall deeper in love with Jesus and his church. Logan, what has Virgin Most Powerful Radio done for you?
Well, Virgin Most Powerful Radio, I got to say, I've been a listener for about a year now, and it's really helped me grow closer to my faith and the fact that I'm listening and I'm getting unsugar-coated, clear, charity with clarity, Catholicism. And it has really helped me even, you know, grow so much deeper in my faith as a young man and discern the priesthood and have a love for Jesus Christ. And this is so seen on the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful, the unsugar-coated, clear truth of our Catholic faith that is so lacking today. It's almost like the Terry and Jesse Show. It's the orange juice Catholicism. It's filling things up. I just need to give them a shout-out, my praise. I'm just so appreciative. It's just really helped me, and I know people want to hear this. It inspires me to want to speak it, and it inspires me to even go as far as discerning the priesthood to think I should speak this. We need to stand up for our beautiful faith. This is this unsugar-coated beauty, and this is just what I've seen on the Terry and Jesse Show. I encourage so many listeners to start donating and support this cause. It has just truly really impacted my life, and all I just want to give is some praise to it.
Sirach 11:24 says, "Do not say, I am self-sufficient. What harm can come to me now?" According to St. Catherine of Siena, presumption is like vermin burrowing at the root of the tree of our soul. If we do not uproot it with great care and humility, it will eventually destroy the soul. May God keep us from all presumption of mind and heart, and realize that we depend on Him for everything.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
We're Black Blue Collar Catholic Radio. We'd like you to hear a small four-minute analysis by Father Chad Ripperger, who's an exorcist, where he talks about spiritual warfare and communism. This is part two. Mr. Engineer, can you play the clip?
Demons know that human beings have a natural law inclination to live in accord with the law of God. They know that. God structured into our intellects and into our very being an inclination to want to obey him and to live according to the laws as he has determined it. So demons will either harangue the person for not living perfectly according to the laws in order to wound the person. That is, they'll tell him you're bad, you should have done this, you should have done that, or, you know, God's law says this, you were supposed to be doing that, etc. Or they make him feel bad about not living up to perfection. And this is done to weaken him so that he is easier to control. Or demons will take legitimate rules and bend them slightly and then harangue the person for not following the rules, you know. So, you know, and you'll see this from time to time, even in relationship to the people who are possessed. They go through this where they a lot of times don't have clarity about what God's law actually is, even if they've been taught it. But demons are constantly trying to get the person to go against God's law, ultimately. Demons themselves did not obey God's laws. They chose something contrary to it. In other words, unless God makes them do something, they are lawless and lack any rules except the rule of power. That's the only rule that really they follow. So a lower demon will do whatever the upper demon tells him to do just because he doesn't want to deal with the opprobrium that he's going to rain down on him. Saul Alinsky, in his Rules for Radicals, in rule number 4 says, make the enemy live up to his own book of rules. But what is not said is that the radical communist follows no rules. They follow only, the only rule that they follow is that the seizing of power for the sake of bringing about this utopia, or so it seems. I'm not convinced that almost all the communists that have seized power actually did it for pure motives. I think a majority of them actually did it because it was a means by which they could bludgeon their opposition and gain power and money. So the only rule that they follow ultimately is what empowers them. This is why they do not obey the laws of any country. This is the thing that frustrates so many Americans, is the fact that we have seen politicians and public figures and people in the media and in Hollywood, you know, flagrantly violating the law. Everybody knows they've been violating the law and nothing is done about it. This is why they don't obey the laws in any country, except those which they have power over. That's the only time they're really going to try and follow the law or enforce the law. They're treasonous because only their power is important to them. The country isn't important to them. The United States isn't important to the communists or the Marxists that are now rioting and carrying on. They're not interested in the United States. In fact, they even admit as much that they want to destroy the United States as it is. They do not follow basic society or human rules. In other words, they don't have any basic decency. This is one of the things that you actually see with them. So in the end, one of the ways that you can identify a communist is someone who doesn't follow any real rules. And even the rules they make for other people, they don't follow themselves.
You just heard Father Chad Ripperger. He just gave a little brief analysis. It's called Spiritual Warfare and Communism. It's a 40-part series. We'll be going through it every single day. I want to make some comments because the reason that he's...
Okay, I just lost Jesse. We're having some more technical. You back, Jess?
Yeah, okay. I can hear you, Terry. No, can you hear me?
Yeah, now you can. We lost you for a second. Repeat.
Okay, I can hear you. Yeah. He's making a comparison between communist thought and the way demons think, because demons also have a thought process.
Very similar.
And this is very interesting, the way he's doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go right to where he starts talking about the similarities between communist thought and demonic thought.
Yeah.
So here's what he says. He says this: ultimately, demons are constantly trying to get the person to go contrary to God's law.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? So are communists. That's exactly what communists are trying to do, trying to get us to go against natural law and against God's divine positive law. So communists and demons do the same thing to the human person. He says this: Demons themselves did not obey God's law. They chose something contrary to God's law. In other words, they chose to follow their own will. Well, guess what? That's exactly what communists do. Communists do not follow God's law. In fact, communist is officially an atheistic form of government. Father Ripperger said this, demons themselves did not obey God's law. They chose something. Unless God makes them do something, they're lawless and disobey any rules except the rule of power. Exactly. That's the only rule that they follow. Well, stop there. Here's my comment. That's the same with communists. You see Black Lives Matter and Antifa. When do they stop disobeying the law? When their police come in or the National Guard. They're just like demons. They're lawless. They'll disobey any rules except if they're overpowered by the police or by the National Guard. So the communist thought and the demonic thought is the same. They're both lawless. And the only thing that they understand is brute force in order to gain their compliance. That's why Terry and myself, we advocate the Second Amendment, by the way. Just, you know, little. Also, another thing that Father Ripperger said, he says that lower demons will do whatever the upper demon tells him to do.
Follow.
Because he doesn't want to deal with the humiliation and disrespect that the upper demon will rain on him. So what's the analogy here? Demons are bullies. Well, guess what? Communists are bullies also.
Exactly.
Okay, they just believe in raw power. Same with demons. And demons, the upper level of demons, bully the lower level of demons. Terry, I got other comments I could make, but I want to hear from you.
Well, I've been waiting, Jesse, because I really enjoy listening to Father Chad talk about this. He quoted the Rules for Radicals by Saul Alinsky. And by the way, Jesse, that book is on my shelf. I didn't realize until recently, about 2 or 3 years ago, that book was dedicated to Satan. Okay? So that's interesting. Now, he quoted the fourth rule about following rules, right? Well, let me just say this, Jess. That book, anybody can still get. And I would recommend that they get that book so you really understand what radicals are all about.
What we're up against.
Yes, because I'm going to tell you, this is on a side note. I watched some of the video of some of these thugs just going around and sucker punching some guys that were at some of these, the Trump rally in Washington, D.C. And it just frustrated me because what they did is they came from behind and they hit the guy out. They knocked him out with a sucker punch. And I said, see, that is so typical of liberals where they would do something like that. And again, that's what Satan does. He does sucker punches on us. You know what he does? He tells us, hey, you know, forget about this. Forget about your Catholic faith. And so here's the point. There's such a connection between these communists and Satanists. I think they're in bed together. That's my take.
Yeah, that's the whole point of Father Ripperger doing these small little teachings. He also says this.
Yep.
The only rule that the demons follow is the use of power for the sake of building up, you know, their kingdom. Well, that's the same with communists.
Of course.
Communists, they only follow the rule of power, the use of power for the sake of building up this communist utopia. So demons and communists, they have the same goal. This building up of this anti-kingdom. St. John Paul II warned us about it. He says, in 1979, we've entered into a battle between the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of the Antichrist. This is what communists are trying to build, the kingdom of the Antichrist. And this is why, again, they have a little assistance, not from guardian angels, but from the diabolical.
Jesse, I got to jump in and say there's another group that has similar standards. It's radical Islam. They do the same darn thing. Am I right or wrong on that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
That's just a fact. Yep. So this is the
Muslims and communists. Yeah, I'm going to talk about that in the next segment. Muslims and communists have the same.
That's right.
They have the same strategies and all. It's force and violence. It really is. Bludgeon your enemy. Absolutely. And that's going to be the next segment.
You got it.
Terry, also, Father Ripperger says communists like to bludgeon their opposition and gain power and money.
Yeah.
That's exactly what demons try to do. Demons try to bludgeon you by demonic oppression and obsession and temptation. Father says the rule communists follow is what empowers them. That's why they don't obey the laws of any country. Guess what? Just like demons, the demons don't obey the they don't do not obey the laws of God as well. And I'll tell you, Father says this is what frustrates normal Americans like us, that we see politicians like Joe Biden and his son and the Clintons, Hollywood elites, pro athletes, corporate CEOs that have millions of dollars or billions of dollars. They violate laws, Terry, and nothing happens to them.
Right.
And Father says they're treasonous because because only their power is important to them. Their country's not important to them. The U.S. is not important to them. That's why, again, you see this looting and rioting and hurting people and property. So these anarchists, Terry, they're just like demons. Demons don't care about people. Demons just care about their power, and demons just want to hurt people with their power and destroy people. In fact, the Bible says that demons are trying to destroy us and steal and rob from us. That's in John chapter 10, verse 10. Terry?
Jesse, that's what I like about Father Chad. He calls them out. You see, and that's what the bishops need to be doing. I'm going to shift gears to a bishop who said this about Biden. Mr. Biden, this is a Catholic bishop. I beg Mr. Biden, this is on Twitter. I beg Mr. Biden to repent of his dissent from Catholic teachings on abortion, marriage, for his own salvation, for the good of our nation. He aspires to the highest office in our land and must be guided by the truth God has revealed to us. I pray for him to find the truth. That's the kind of bishop we need. Now, that wasn't Archbishop Vigano. He would say that, right?
Was that Archbishop? I'm guessing it was Archbishop Gomez.
Archbishop Gomez congratulated him as being the second Catholic. That's the problem in our church. We're so polarized. This is Bishop Joseph Strickland, our bishop, here on Virgin Most Powerful. I texted him this morning. I congratulated him. He says, oh, no problem. I just got to do my job. My job is to help get souls to heaven. I wish that would be a wake-up call to all 300 bishops who just had a meeting on Tuesday. That's why Bishop Strickland had to take the day off. He said it was so sad because they were talking on everything but the salvation of souls. And here's the point. We lose our supernatural view of life. And so what these Satanists, what these communists, these Marxists are doing, we need the Catholic Church to call them out like a good bishop, like Bishop Strickland, Archbishop Vigano are doing. But we need that to happen more and not look the other way and say political correctness says we can't speak up. Bishop Strickland got nailed by all kinds of Catholics on Twitter saying, you're just a hate crime. That's hate crime. That's hate crime. Jesse, calling a man to repentance is hate crime. Do you see how mixed up we are? All right, I'm done. I blew up on that, Jess. And the reason I did is because we've got a bishop who's calling them straight. And man, our culture right now doesn't want to hear it.
Well, Terry, and I'm glad that Father Ripperger is making the analogy between communists and demons, because that's what we have here. We have the Democrat Party in America.
You got it. Hey, we're too blessed again to be stressed. You know what? We got the truth of Jesus Christ. We'll be back with more on the Terry and Jesse Show.
We got Ernesto from Long Beach.
You know, I just wanted to comment, you know, and I just wanted to thank you guys. And I kind of wanted to encourage people that are listening, maybe that are not donating, you know, because honestly, I got to be honest. I used to think you guys were a little
too over the top,
you know?
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
That's right.
If God gave us a lot, you know, and I have the blessing of listening to all this, and I just want to call all the people, you know, I've got 5 kids, you know, and I don't make a lot of money, and I'm still donating to you guys.
God bless you, brother. You're amazing.
We have to do this. We have to do the extra. And it's not even the extra. People see it like it's extra. Kneeling for communion, saying your rosary, saying the Divine Mercy Chaplet. It is not extra. It's what the church tells us to do.
Amen. You're a good man, brother.
30 years old, 29 years old, 5 kids, and I thank you guys. But everybody else, man, get on fire. Fight for the truth, man. I know what I'm telling you guys. There's
I love it.
Out there.
If you shop on Amazon.com, there's an easy way to support Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Just visit smile.amazon.com and type in Catholic Resource Center under the desired charity. Now, when you log into your Amazon account and purchase products, a portion of it will automatically go to support Virgin Most Powerful Radio at no cost to you. Thanks in advance for supporting CRC and VMPR. and may God richly bless you and your family.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Speaking the truth in charity, the Terry and Jesse Show, the Latin lover of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, my partner Terry.
Terry Barber, the Lebanese lover of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the Lebanese lover of our Lady. And we're honored to be here for one reason, to help you get to heaven. Yeah, that's our purpose. We want to share the good news of Jesus Christ in spite of what the world is doing right now. We want to focus on the person of Christ.
That's right. Keep your eyes. Hebrews 12:2. That's what keeps me going every day. Keep exactly. Your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. I don't keep my eyes on a pope or a bishop or a cardinal or an archbishop or a priest. I pray for them. Okay. Yeah, they got spiritual authority. I get that. And I listen to them when they teach the perennial teachings of the church. Absolutely.
You nailed it.
Their opinions are their opinions. And that's all that is, as far as I'm concerned. Terry, this article says religious persecution rising, and it says the bombshell studies highlighting an explosion of religious persecution radiating throughout the world.
You got it.
This is a Pew Research Center study found that 56 countries had high or very high levels of restriction on religion back in 2018. That's not good.
Nope.
And the study goes back all the way to 2007. So the Pew reported back in 2018, that the global median level of government restrictions on religion, that is laws, policies, and actions by officials that impinge on religious beliefs and practices, continue to climb, reaching an all-time high. The report showed a majority of the world's religious persecution is still found in Africa and the Middle East.
What's common in the Middle East and Africa, Jess?
Islam.
That's right. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, if you want to know how, anytime you start saying like, woe is me, you know, let me tell you, living in the Middle East or in Africa, I'm reading another article that I brought up here. It's from Hillary White, a Rome correspondent for LifeSite News. She said, and I'm finding it here, it says every 5 minutes. A follower of Jesus Christ is killed in Africa or in a communist country. So the systematic killing is coming from Islam or it's coming from communist. These are both. Islam is a diabolical religion. Okay. Period. And communism is a diabolical government. Both of these systems, Terry.
Yep.
Every 5 minutes, a follower of Jesus Christ is killed by one of these two diabolical systems.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Jesse,
God help us.
You know, before we continue the article, I just want to mention some good news in our country. Up in San Francisco, the diocese, Archbishop Cordeleon, just mentioned that, this was just last week, that the folks that, those persecuted people that had the Nipporocero statue knocked down, they videotaped it, and finally the DA, district attorney, has filed the full extent of the law. Those people are going to jail for doing that. And so now, finally, months later, it's coming to justice, and Archbishop Cordeleon said it's a big Catholic moment because these people think that they can just start going into Catholic churches and destroying statues and doing these things. They can't. They're going to pay a price. And so thank God here in our country, they have a little teeth now that they were stopping these people from these abuses. But you know what, Jesse? As it said, the largest rise in religious restrictions was seen in the Asian Pacific region, 2017. and 26 countries had high or very high levels of restriction. But here's the thing. What's far worse is in Asia. Guess who's in Asia? The largest country in the world in numbers of people. China. And you know what, Jess? I can't say it. I didn't say it in this. But China is responsible for persecuting so many groups of people. Protestants, Catholics, even Muslims, man.
Yeah, even Muslims.
They got them set up in concentration camps. 800,000 of them. And here's the group that, the former Cardinal McCarrick went to cut a deal for the Holy Father with this China deal. That's a horrible deal. It's a secret deal. And our religion out in China is being persecuted. This is why we need to step up, even in our church, in our highest levels, and say we need accountability, because whoever cut that deal in China, the Joe Sixpacks, the Hoi Polloi, are being persecuted. And the Cardinal Zen, who should know more about what's going on in China, is constantly chiding the Holy Father and the Cardinals to say, wake up, guys. I know China. I live there. You can't negotiate with a communist. You know, it's like negotiating with a liturgist, that you can't do it.
That's
why we need to stand up. And people would say, well, why are you speaking out? You know who encouraged me to do this, Jesse? He's encouraged you too. Just yesterday, Bishop Strickland from the Diocese of Tyler, Texas, told me, you guys need to be critical of us bishops. Did you hear that, Jess? When did you hear a bishop say, you guys need to be critical of us?
Well, Bishop Fulton Sheen said that.
Exactly.
He told us. And you know what? Who else told us, to be honest with you?
Yeah.
Pope Benedict.
Yep.
He also says, you know, you could criticize a pope. He goes, I wrote a book. He goes, I wrote a book. He says, you could criticize it. It's not magisterial. It's my, I wrote it. I'm a theologian and stuff. And you could,
Jesus,
you got a beef. Yeah. He said, you could criticize it.
Sure.
Paragraph 907, just read the catechism or just read New Testament.
Yeah.
Galatians chapter 2, Paul saw Peter acting like a hypocrite. He says, hey, stop it. Knock it off.
Yep.
Okay. And the
charity.
Bible says he opposed him to his face.
And that's charity. Really?
Yeah.
Hey, you know what Bishop Strickland told me yesterday? If I ever teach something that's not consistent with this catechism, please just tell me. I'll change. He said, if I'm doing it out of ignorance, I have no problem having a lay person tell me that. So that's why I think it's important
here at
Virgin Most Powerful Radio that we have clarity and charity. The charity is giving me the truth, Jesse Romero. If I'm wrong, Brother Jess, you correct me right on the air. I got no problem with that. You know why? Yeah. I need to be corrected.
Yeah, because I want to be Catholic. I want to get to heaven. So it's not a matter of pride. It's a matter of being walking in truth.
Amen.
And walking in the obedience of faith. And Bishop Strickland, Terry, demonstrates the humility of that man.
Oh, yeah.
And let me tell you the power of humility.
Yeah, truth.
Yesterday, I read in my Magnificat
mm-hmm.
about, you've heard of Apollo. He's one of St. Paul's sidekicks in the New Testament. He's also a fellow disciple and stuff, and he is also evangelizing in the book of Acts, Apollos.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I read here a historical document that says about Apollos. It says, Apollo made a habit of almost constant self-examination, remaining alert to the subtle temptations of pride. One day when a possessed man was brought to Apollos, the devil immediately flew out of the possessed man, unable to stay there because the devil said, I cannot bear to be in the presence of this saint's humility. So Apollos, who is in the New Testament, mentioned several times as one of St. Paul's co-evangelizers, this is a story that, you know, you're not going to get in the New Testament.
No.
This is part of Christian tradition that a possessed person saw Apollos, and standing in the presence of this follower of Christ of the New Testament, the demon says, oh, I'm out of this man.
I love it.
This disciple is so humble that the demon flew out of the person, and the person was set free and delivered.
That is such a great story.
talk about, again. Again, I mean, and I see that in Bishop Strickland and a few others, Terry.
Yeah. Yeah,
you just see the power in these men because of they're tapping into humility. They're realizing that, as John the Baptist realized, I must decrease and the Lord must increase.
Yeah, Jesse, because of what you just said, I want to pray this prayer that we've been praying for Father Ripperger called Prayer Command.
Oh, okay.
In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Amen. In his name and by the power of his cross and blood, I ask Jesus to bind all any evil spirits, forces, and powers of the earth, air, fire, or water of the netherworld, and the satanic forces of nature. By the power of the Holy Spirit and by His authority, I ask Jesus Christ to break any curses, hexes, or spells and send them back to where they came from. It is, if it be His holy will, I beseech Thee, Lord Jesus, to protect us by the pouring Thy precious blood on us, on my family. Everybody say, on my family, yes, but which Thou hast shed for us, and ask Thee to command Thee and any departing spirits to leave quietly, without disturbance, and go straight to Thy cross to dispose of as they see fit. I ask Thee to bind any demonic interactions, interplay, or communications. And I'm going to say this. I place President Trump right now, okay, under the protection of the blood of Jesus Christ, which He shed for us.
Amen. Amen.
Jesse, I just felt inspired. And Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Amen. I felt
Father,
inspired
Son of the Holy
to
Spirit.
Pray that
Amen.
Prayer because we're up against principalities and, you know, powers. This is what we're up against,
Absolutely.
Evil. It's
Absolutely.
Right in our face right now. Go ahead.
Yes.
Yes.
Terry, let me mention again for somebody that's just tuning into the show that there's an Italian sociologist named Dr. Massimo Introvigne. He says, and he wrote a book on this, he says that the most persecuted group in the world are Christians.
That's right.
And he says Christians are being killed out of religious discrimination every 5 minutes.
Unbelievable.
Particularly by Muslim terrorists or in communist countries. So, Terry, these are the systems that are being used by the devil in a very powerful way. Islamic terrorists are being used by Satan as his agents, and also communists.
Right.
And going back to this article.
Yes.
This article, which is called Religious Persecution Rising. Terry, it may just come over to this side, the U.S.
Yeah.
Because right now, people don't realize that the Democrat Party has a communist wing within the party.
It's the fact.
They call themselves the Democrat Socialist Party.
Yep.
And there's many members like Ocasio-Cortez and the squad. They consider themselves Democrat Socialist. Well, as I've told you before, the word socialist means communist. It's right in. Just read what USSR means, Union of Soviet Socialist
right.
Republic, okay? And read what the word Nazi means. The word socialist is in there as well. Not socialism is communism, and it's in the Democrat Party right now. We may not just have it in China. We may have it here in the U.S. if Biden steals this election.
Just the fact, when we come back, Pope Benedict the 16th warns of a new totalitarianism. We'll get back to the moment.
Leviticus 11:44 says, "Consecrate yourselves and be holy, because I am holy." St. Vincent Pilate said, "You must be holy in the way God asks you to be holy." God does not ask you to be a Trappist monk or a hermit. He wants you to sanctify the world and your everyday life. May God show us the path to holiness and help us to follow it all the days of our life.
Tummy.
How does the baby eat?
Can the baby hear me?
How did the baby get in there?
Wow, a pregnancy can sure generate a lot of questions, but what's important is that a baby is a baby, inside and out of the womb, not just after birth, but 9 months before. at conception.
That's right. Every baby is a miracle. Hello, my name is Marianne Kuharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America. If you know someone who is pregnant or in need of alternatives or assistance or would like to support the work of Pro-Life Across America, please visit our website at prolifeacrossamerica.org or better yet, simply dial #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword pro-life. Pro-Life Across America is non-political and totally educational.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception.
Pro-Life Across America, the Billboard people.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871. Because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
We're back. Do you want to hear what Pope Benedict told, what he said in an interview?
Absolutely.
This is all being, he had an interview with Peter Sewald. I guess they're friends, it's and this has all been narrated by Antonio Socci, who's a very respected author and over in Italy, and he's also a journalist. But here's the long and the short of it. There was a meeting between Peter Sewald and Pope Benedict XVI. They're going to publish his autobiography. And here's some of the back and forth exchange of the book that's been put into an article. It says, I guess Peter Sewald asked Pope Benedict about humanistic ideologies encroaching. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the crucial questions that was placed by Sewald to Pope Emeritus. He said, quote, "One phrase from your first homily as Pope has remained particularly impressed in our memory. You said, 'Pray for me that I may not flee for fear of the wolves.'" Close quote. "Had you perhaps foreseen what awaited you?" And the Pope replied to Peter Sewald. He replied this. He says that this was not an allusion to the problems of the Vatican, such as Vati leaks, as many people thought. But Pope Benedict explained, he says, "The true threat for the church and thus for the Petrine office does not come from this sort of episode of the Vati leaks." He says it comes from the universal dictatorship of apparently humanistic ideologies. "Anyone who contradicts this dictatorship is excluded from the basic consensus of society." That's what they call the cancel culture.
That's right.
Pope Benedict said 100 years ago, anyone would have thought it absurd to speak of homosexual matrimony.
Absolutely.
"Today, those who oppose it are socially excommunicated." Yep, that's called the cancel culture. They will cancel you.
Yep.
The Pope says the same holds true for abortion and the production of human beings in the laboratory. "Modern society intends to formulate an anti-Christian creed, and whoever contests it is punished with social excommunication. Being afraid of the spiritual power of the Antichrist." Very interesting. So Pope Emeritus is speaking in the present tense that this power that we're seeing right now cropping up all over this world, this universal dictatorship, this totalitarianism, Pope Benedict Emeritus says this is the spiritual power of the Antichrist. He says, which is all too natural. And what is truly needed is that prayers of the entire diocese of the entire world come to rescue to resist it. So as I read that, Terry, Pope Benedict is saying that the Antichrist is probably here,
yeah,
according to him.
Jesse, when I hear a Pope speak like that, it's so refreshing for me. You know why? He's not talking about, are you ready? You know, saving
recycling.
Plastic bags or whatever, yeah. Recycling. He's not
wash
even
your hands.
Yeah, put a mask on. No. He's talking about the salvation of souls. And I just want to commend that because, you know, the media has simplified everything superficially by sparking controversy over these examples. But this is not the center of Benedict XVI's reasoning, which has a very different inspiration. He speaks of the threat represented by the universal dictatorship of apparently humanistic ideologies. See, I'm going to be honest with you, Jess. Maybe I'm having a meltdown, but it's because I want a Holy Father to speak like this. The present Pope does not speak like this. He talks about humanistic things, okay? I'm just being honest. That's how I see it. Pope Francis, we pray for you every day. Please take a lead from your predecessor, Benedict, because what he's talking about is dangerous to the salvation of souls. To be honest with you, Jess, I want to drink clean water. I do. I want to make sure that we don't pollute. But number one, the pollution of souls is far higher. And Benedict knew that. And I just thank him for his clarity.
The article says, the new totalitarianism presents itself as the liberator of humanity.
That's true.
Here's and by the way, the new totalitarianism is COVID-19.
Yeah, I agree.
This whole thing. Mass, social distancing, lock it down, close down the business, send kids to school. This is the new totalitarianism that Pope Benedict is referring to.
Well, he's
dog whistling to us.
Yeah.
He says, Pope Benedict Emeritus says, here's the point, that a man of great culture, profound spirituality, and recognized authority would speak of the threat of a universal dictatorship cannot leave anyone indifferent. So that was Sochi that wrote that the fact that Pope Benedict Emeritus is saying this, all of us, our ears should perk up like Lassie when he starts speaking like this.
No ambiguity. None. He says it.
Sochi writes, one may object, but in fact, this theme has clearly emerged in public debate. This whole totalitarianism.
Yep.
Even secular intellectuals have shown themselves to be worried about the evident imposition of an aligned thought. And even Micromega, which is an Italian news magazine, has called out the new season of excesses by politically correct ideology, which has led to the rediscovery of censorship by progressives.
Wow.
That's exactly what we're experiencing here with social media, Terry, in the United States.
Yep.
Sochi writes, authoritative thinkers such as Giorgio Agamben have sounded the alarm in recent months over the state of exception during the health emergency. But more generally, over politics becoming biopolitics. What a good word. That's exactly what we're living in.
Exactly.
Biopolitics with this COVID-19. Sochi writes, even a secular intellectual who was on the other end of the spectrum from Ratzinger's thought, like the Frenchman Michael Onfray, has published a book, The Theory of Dictatorship, in which he sees on the horizon a new type of totalitarianism. And so the theme exists in secular discourse, even outside the church, Terry. You got secular humanists that are talking about this. And Ratzinger speaks of the dictatorship of apparently humanistic ideologies and adds that modern society intends to formulate an anti-Christian creed, and that is being afraid of the spiritual power of the Antichrist is all too natural. So here we have Pope Benedict Emeritus for the second time using the word Antichrist, Terry, in the present tense, which tells me that he's dog whistling us, that he's probably here right now.
Yep. Well, Benedict XVI's reflection, Terry? Jesse, reflection meets, for example, the thought of one of the greatest philosophers of our time, René Girard, effectively uses the same categories of Cardinal Ratzinger in his book, it's Vito Satana, and this is a very impressive because he too identifies this new totalitarianism. And Jesse, this man explains that Christianity introduced pity for victims into the world. Continue, because I see this right in front of my face. Today, there's
this
man.
So Rene Girard, Rene Girard, who wrote a book called I See Satan Fall Like Lightning.
Yeah.
He's saying that the Antichrist is going to show false compassion.
That's what's
and
going
this
on.
Is and by the way, there's other people. Archbishop Fulton Sheen said the same thing. When you listen to his lecture on the Antichrist, it's on YouTube.
Yep.
He says the Antichrist is going to win the world over by thinking everybody's, he's compassionate. He cares about
false,
us.
False,
you know, think about it. He cares for our safety, social distancing, put on a mask, vaccine. Wow, he cares about this man. That's the Fulton Sheen says that's the symbol of the Antichrist. Okay. It's going to be false compassion, and then he's going to make us basically try to violate God's law and worship him. And that's what Rene Girard is saying, the same thing. Girard explains that Christianity introduced pity for victims into the world. Mm-hmm. Today, there's a humanitarianism, and Ratzinger says the same thing,
yep,
that makes this sensitivity its own, but does so against Christianity. The strongest anti-Christian movement is the one that makes concern for the victim its own and radicalizes it in order to paganize it. The new totalitarianism presents itself as the liberator of humanity. Think about COVID-19 and everything around that.
Yep.
Just like Ratzinger, Rene Girard too invokes the New Testament figure of the Antichrist, that is, the one who imitates Christ in an even better way and even claims to surpass Christ. Yeah. The entire 20th century was filled with literary figures of the Antichrist, from Vladimir Solovyev's Story of the Antichrist to Robert Hugh Benson's Lord of the World. Yeah. And so they depict the Antichrist, Terry, as a great humanitarian and philanthropist,
yeah,
a usurping imitation of the Redeemer as evoked by many paintings in the Catholic Church. The Antichrist, writes Rene Girard,
yeah,
he boasts of bringing people peace and tolerance, while in fact he brings with him the effect of return to all sorts of pagan practices. And Rene Girard, like Joseph Ratzinger, cites abortion and other modern situations. In practice, Rene Girard shares Ratzinger's alarm as an anti-Christian modernity, which both of them do not hesitate to juxtapose with the apocalyptic figure of the Antichrist. Terry, after reading both these great giants and stuff, I'm convinced that the Antichrist is probably here.
I would say that it makes sense with all the information that we have right now. Jesse, basically, we have a new savior, the secular savior, rather than the God-man savior.
Yes.
That's how I see it. Now, Jess, there's a comment here. He says, the resignation of Benedict XVI would then be a prefiguration of the separation between Babylon and Jerusalem in the church. Now, that's a powerful statement. You want to unpack that?
Yeah, the separation from Babylon and Jerusalem. Babylon represents paganism, the worship of false gods. Jerusalem worships
God.
Represents the worship of the one true God and his Messiah.
Yep.
And so that separation, Pope John Paul II called it. He said, we're entering into a time where the Church of Christ will be facing off against the Church of the Antichrist.
Yep.
That's the separation you're seeing right now on planet Earth. There's a divide. And the Bible says that in 1 John 3:10, you have children of God, children of Satan. So these authors are clearly saying that the battle lines are being drawn right now. Terry, you know something interesting? And here you got a president who's not even Catholic, who doesn't have the fullness of faith, and God has chosen him like a Cyrus the Persian pagan king. Yep. He's on the side, Terry, of the goodness and of everything that's right with the gospel of Jesus Christ today as we see it.
And don't forget, Cardinal Ratzinger, when he was a bishop in 1969 on a radio show, said that the church is going to become a remnant small. And I see that happening in front of me, Jesse, right now. Jess, before we go, I hear the music. Dr. Sandoval's up next. But hey, what are those five stones of David, and what state should we be living in, brother?
Live in the state of grace. Don't live in the state of mortal sin. Pray your rosary every single day or you're not on the team. Go to Mass as often as possible. Read your Bible every day. Fast on Wednesdays and Fridays and do penance. And remember, make sure to live in a state of grace by maintaining that monthly confession. Terry,
awesome.
Take it away.
Hey, don't forget, Our Lady said souls are going to hell because no one's there to pray and make sacrifices. Tonight, we pray in front of the Blessed Sacrament from 7 to 9 for our bishop, our priest, and our Holy Father. Join us from 7 to 9 here at the Sacred Heart Chapel. May God richly bless you and your family.